welcome to the Get Ready to Rise podcast. Today, I am speaking to the gorgeous Jess Roper, who is a 2x English kickboxing champion, a second degree black belt, and the founder of I Am Fighting Fit. Jess is passionate about personal development, health, well-being, and increasing confidence. Jess has a lot more to offer in the future, but first, she has her sights set on competing in the World Kickboxing Championships in the summer of 2022. So excited for her. So this is her focus for now. But like many people, Jess has a story. And so let me introduce you to Jess so we can delve deep into how she got ready to rise and where she is aspiring to rise to. So Jess, welcome to the Get Ready to Rise podcast. I'm so excited to speak to you. It's an absolute pleasure that you're here today. So I've been following you for some time and I know your backstory, but I would love for you to share, when did your quest for personal growth start and why?
That is a fantastic question, and it is an honour to be here. I think, when did the quest begin? Before I was aware. So it probably began when I was young, and then with kickboxing at the age of 19, perhaps. But consciously, when I began to realise that our personal development is something that we can understand and we can work on, like our athletic performance, like kickboxing and physical progression, mm-hmm. I wasn't aware that that is a form of personal development. And I was working hard in the gym. So this was before the lockdowns. This was when I was fighting and losing in the beginning, fighting and winning, fighting and becoming a champion, stressing myself out, going self-employed. Then the lockdown hit, 2020, mm-hmm. It took it all away. And I discovered Brené Brown. I read The Gifts of Imperfection. And before that, I almost had a negative connotation with self-help books. And then I realized I prefer the term personal development, but there's no real difference between self-help or personal development. It's a term that encompasses prioritizing us as a human being and all of our needs, including our health.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, 100%. And remember when we were younger and self-help was just one of those things that you used to think, oh, that person must be a little bit strange because they're reading self-help books. What's wrong with them? Oh, if we only knew what treasures they had uncovered, right? And, you know, in today's day and age, we have access to the internet. We find ourselves networking in those circles, and everybody seems to be on this amazing journey because we have access to more resources these days. So we're finding ourselves rising. We're finding ourselves connecting to the right people. So tell me, Jess, who have you connected to, or which communities have you connected to over the past 12 months that are really, really important to you?
One of them that has had the biggest impact would be the High Net Connect community, and that was how we connected.
Yeah.
So without it, I wouldn't be here speaking to you today.
Yeah,
and I believe, well, it was the beginning of big things. So I joined before my British title fight last year, mm-hmm. and I connected with amazing people, incredible. And that was actually how I got involved with Sports for Schools and the schools that I'm going to be working in this year alongside Training to Fight. So that is probably the biggest community that I connected with this year. Previous to that, the year before, that has had the most impact, probably other than kickboxing, would be the hypnotherapy communities. And there are several of them too.
Excellent. So it's great that you mentioned hypnotherapy and the fact that you are marrying the two, you know, your current profession and hypnotherapy. And I'm noticing a lot more in the sporting world, you know, footballers tapping into yoga. Could you just share your view on that? Could you just share why it is important that, you know, we do tap into the meditation, the yoga, the hypnotherapy in order to balance ourselves out when we do take that road to sport and fitness?
from my own personal experience, so like I said in the beginning, and from my experience of working with other athletes, other fighters, we're all high performers. We are driven, and we know that we have to put the training in. We have these physical markers of improving our strength, improving our cardio, watching our weight and our nutrition, and we don't struggle with any of that. Our coach tells us to do something and we do it. But especially as an amateur fighter, I know you mentioned professional athletes, and there is a lot of mindset coaching, sports psychology and performance for professional athletes. And it's improving, it's increasing. And this is fantastic because it doesn't even have to be hard work. It can be completely enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
And it can completely transform our performance. So we don't have to constantly be pushing and fighting. So from my own, I was fighting my mind. Those voices inside my own head were worse than my opponent. That fear of failure, that what if I'm not good enough? And then even when I won, not feeling fully satisfied because what if I could have done more? And it doesn't have to be that way. And so when I started working with fighters, my first worry, because we all get these doubts, mm-hmm. I started to think, well, what if it takes away our edge? What if we need that drive pushing us, that moving away from the pain and the fear of losing to drive us? When actually we don't need that. We can improve our performance by accepting ourselves, appreciating our abilities, and feeling that we truly deserve success. Mm. And that's in sport, in the ring, but that's also in life, in business, and it goes across all areas too.
You're absolutely right. Love that. Is there anything in your past that was the catalyst to your growth? Was there any experiences that you went through that really pushed you to make some changes in your life?
I think the biggest one has been lockdown, the mm-hmm. pandemic, because up until that point, it's just been a kind of gradual doing things as progression. So I had, going right back to the beginning, I had a tough childhood, a tough upbringing. Both of my parents were addicted to drugs, becoming alcoholics. And I was academic at school. Mm-hmm. But then the pressure of being that A-star student and having to go to university, and my friends as well, I was terrified that they would find out that I wasn't like them. Mm-hmm. In my mind, they all had perfect families. Now, obviously, as an adult, we all know there's no such thing. They would have had struggles too.
Absolutely.
And if they had known, they would have accepted me. But I ended up having an avoidance of school, social anxiety, and I shut myself away. So I lost everything that was my key to success, I guess. And then I started to work hard. I started to minimum wage jobs, and that was my progression until I found kickboxing. And that was probably one of my biggest turning points in my life. The age of 19, walking through those dojo doors, and my boyfriend helped me overcome that fear, and unable to do even one press up. That was where my journey began.
Oh, that's so inspiring, because I just can't envision myself going into a kickboxing class. You're so inspirational. So going back to the beginning, was there anything that one of your, what do you call, is it a coach in kickboxing?
Yeah.
Yes. So is there anything in particular that one of your coaches said to you that was like the turning point in that particular profession, if you like?
Yes, there was. So when I was struggling, So a few years in, I started fighting, and I didn't enjoy fighting. I'm still not sure if I do enjoy fighting. I enjoy pushing myself to overcome my fears. And this is why I want to get into public speaking more, because you don't have to get punched in the face to do so. But my coach, so I'd had a few losses and I thought about giving up, mm-hmm. and he pulled me aside and he said, you might not be a natural fighter, but you are a natural coach.
Mm.
Persevere through these tough times, overcome your struggles, and this will forever be part of your story.
Mm.
And here I am today sharing that story. I doubt he knew when he made that comment, I doubt he knew the impact it would have, which goes to show that it only takes a few words of encouragement to someone.
Absolutely.
And it will last forever.
Yeah, it's my favorite quote. I've actually got it on my desktop. Maya Angelou. I can't bring it up. Oh my goodness, that's embarrassing, isn't it? Well, people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you make them feel. It's on my desktop and I look at it every single day because it's so, so true, isn't it? How you make people feel is so important, especially in today's day and age, you know? There's so much going on.
Yeah.
It's constant.
he helped me believe in myself before I knew how to create that belief. He had that belief in me and he saw something in me and he nurtured that. So he, if anything, he sparked the desire to become a champion before I was even aware, because I watched him in the ring fight over 5 rounds until his hand was raised, until he became a champion. And then I was also with him in the gym throughout his training, so I knew what it took, and I knew that I would push as hard as he pushed putting that work in. So we can obviously, we need to believe in ourselves and have that desire, but we do also need to go out and take action towards our goals. So like the law of attraction, action is a massive part of that. And I carried on going. I carried on doing what needed to be done to become a champion. And then the final bit and the most important bit was taking away the pressure and embracing the fun, embracing the opportunity, and just going for it wholeheartedly. And then that was the moment that I guess my life changed and I became who I knew I wanted to be.
Oh, beautiful. So if you were talking to your younger self, the little Jess, and you were giving her some advice with kickboxing in mind, and you were sat down with her, what would be 3 benefits of kickboxing that you would share with her?
The first one definitely is confidence, belief in yourself, and you can become anything you want to be if you're willing to put the work in. The second one would be your health is really your wealth. So we need money to live in this world today, but nothing beats having our health. So putting that time and effort into doing something, doesn't even have to be kickboxing, but on the theme of kickboxing, and this is a kind of second bit to this, number two would be finding something that you enjoy. So we feel like we should exercise, we feel like we should watch our diet and eat healthily and boring foods and salad. Not necessarily. Find things that you can enjoy doing, enjoyable ways of exercising, enjoyable ways of eating. And then your physical health is part of your overall wholehearted health, because it affects your mental health, social health, all forms of health too. And the third one would be the power of community, being part of that club, having that hierarchy, those coaches, those teammates to support you through those struggles, then celebrate those successes with you. And even into like the fighters, the majority of people don't ever fight, and that's absolutely okay. It's a fantastic, fun form of fitness. But if you become part of, you would think aggression, violence, but actually it's respect. It's based upon honor and appreciation of each other. You don't underestimate your opponent because you know that they're working just as hard as you are. So I guess that would be my 3 things: the confidence, the health, and the community.
I love that last point because it's like rugby. I freeze up when anyone talks about rugby with me. I have my best friend has 2 boys, and I once went to watch one of them, the oldest one, and his face got smashed to pieces. And it's ever since then, I'm like, no, I can't watch that sport anymore. So I'm glad you said that about kickboxing, because honestly, it was something that I wanted to tap into when I was younger. I don't know why. And after speaking to you, I might actually push myself. I might.
It's like, that is fantastic.
Yeah.
I now you've said that. Now I know there's a desire there. I'm going to help you push yourself.
Yeah.
And I actually picked up on something that you said earlier, and this is the perfect point to expand upon it. You mentioned how I had the courage to do it and you wouldn't have been able to do that. And that it was so tough to be the only female in a male dominated tough environment. So this is one of the things I'm very passionate about, is providing ways of helping women who have that. There's a little part of them that wants to give it a go, but they're not sure how. And it's like, to help people get started. And then once that's the hardest part, that first step, then you never look back. You just continue on this amazing journey, having fun, getting fit.
100%. Oh, I love that so much, because it's true. As women, we don't feel that we can connect these sports. Don't know why, don't know the root cause. I'm sure that you've explored the root cause. But, you know, whilst you're at it, could you also push me to play the saxophone? Because that was another one of my dreams.
I could perhaps use hypnotherapy to help.
Oh, bless you.
Funnily enough, because I had a limiting belief from when I was a child, and in hypnosis, I went back to it, and I somebody said to me that I couldn't dance because I had no rhythm. And as an adult, I've been terrified of dancing, terrified that people would judge me. And then obviously when you've got that fear, same with fighting and dancing, they're very similar, your body tenses up.
Yes.
So guess what? You can't move. You can't access that state of flow. You can't feel the rhythm and enjoy the moment. So guess what? I couldn't dance because I was like stiff like a brick or something. But with the regards to the saxophone, there will be somebody out there who can help you, as long as you tap into that desire and that belief that you're capable. And that is what I can help people with.
Excellent. I love that. So you aspire to be speaking on stage. People are calling you every day. Please just come and speak to our audience. And the audience is full of women like me who have this desire to explore, whether it be kickboxing, whether it be something else. I'm sure that you will connect to a wider audience. What would be your topic?
My topic, off the top of my head right now, would be the thing that I share in the primary schools, because it's the dream big, start small, and never give up. It tells my story of how I became a champion and how we can break it down. So we all have that, what if I could achieve that? Oh, but I can't do that. I'm just a mum, or I work in an office and I earn this much, and I'm just an amateur kickboxer and I do it for a bit of fitness or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. And we make these excuses, but inside us there is that burning desire. There is that something. So if we can tap into that big dream and overcome the fears that are holding us back, then we have to accept where we are, and we're not there yet, and we want to be there because we've got that desire. So we have to break it down into the smallest possible actions that we can take today. And how, so like using habit stacking and James Clear and Atomic Habits and all of these different sources that people can go and look into to learn more about if they want to. But finding consistency with small actions, and that compounds over time. So my first ever goal towards becoming a champion was being able to do one press up, and that 10 years later I still do press ups every night before bed. I now do 20, so it's still a small, it still takes me about a minute, so it's doable every night without affecting anything else. And that to me is the key to success, finding those processes that, because time is valuable. We don't want to be, and
so precious.
Often people get overwhelmed with trying to do everything. Had I tried to learn to dance and do Zumba and learn the saxophone and Spanish and kickboxing all at once, I wouldn't have become a champion. I needed to stay focused, and then the never give up. There will be tough times. There will be losses along the way. There will be struggles. I think people, and I know I used to look at people who were successful, and I still do, and think, oh, it's different for them. There's something special about them. But it's not true. They're just people. We're all just people. We all experience emotions. We all experience struggles. But it's that not giving up, remaining resilient and continuing on when things get tough. And so that's basically the message that I would share.
Absolutely. It's such an important message because we all have the same hours in the day. We all have access to, you know, everybody can access resources now. There's so much free stuff online, isn't there? What age group are you serving in the schools, Jess?
The schools are primary schools, so
beautiful.
Age 4 to 11, and I was really worried about doing it because I've never done anything like it before. Uh-huh. And in my mind, I see myself speaking to adults, uh-huh. like you said, like perhaps women like you, perhaps business people, even maybe even going into companies and helping with motivational. I don't know yet. We'll see what the future brings. But I hadn't imagined primary school children. But then I remembered that fun and play are really important messages that I put out there. So like the women that I work with in their 30s, 40s, 50s even, I bring in these, they don't have time to have fun in their life. They don't have time for themselves. And I say, let's just have an hour of fun together. Get mm-hmm. our bodies moving. And it's what we all want in life.
It is. And remember, these 4 to 11-year-olds are going to grow up into men and women. So it's important to start early, isn't it? I wish somebody had come into my school like yourself and motivated me. That is what was missing. You know, people from the outside world coming in, not just the teachers that are just teaching the curriculum. I mean, I have an 8-year-old boy and he is now asking to watch Joe Dispenza every day on YouTube because he's been watching me. Like, what am I listening to? What am I watching? And so they do pick up. They're like sponges. So I'm excited for the children that you're going to be seeing. How many schools do you have in the pipeline?
So at the time of recording, this is end of February, but I've just leading into March, I've got 13 schools booked in.
That is so exciting.
It's amazing. And when I actually think about the reality of that, so I had somebody, one of my best friends, one of my kickboxing coaches, ring me the other day and say, Jess, did you know you're a celebrity? I was like, what? What? And she was like, there's a kid. So her sister-in-law's friend has a child uh-huh. who won't stop talking about you because you're going to visit his school. And then yeah, he found out that she knew who I was and he was amazed. So there's this little boy that knows I'm going to his school and is really, really excited to meet me. And I'm sat here and I'm thinking, I'm just me. I'm just Jess. It's incredible.
That has given me goosebumps. Isn't that gorgeous?
It completely blew my mind because like following those starting small, those small steps, I didn't think, oh, I'm going to become a celebrity in the eyes of this 7-year-old little boy. But wow.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but the real people are the celebrities, you know, and the sooner we realise that, the better the world will be. We put far too many people on a pedestal with no real positive messaging, no real talent half the time. And so much money is poured into them that they make so much money and they're sending out the wrong messages to our children. So more Jesses in the world, please, going into our schools and making the world a better place. You should be so, so, well, I mean, imagine you are very, very proud of yourself. I don't need to tell you that. So if you were going to write a book, what would it be about?
Becoming,
because that's coming, obviously.
On the theme of everything we've discussed, it would be around becoming fighting fit. I don't know what the title would be, but that's the word that I use. Hopefully it resonates with people. It's not physically fighting necessarily, but overcoming the struggles and prioritizing ourselves and our health and our well-being and giving advice on how to do that. I actually think there will be multiple books at some point, a bit like, I guess, I'm a second degree black belt. I doubt I'll do one and then stop. So the same with like what you said about the stages, and there mm-hmm. will be other stories to share. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think almost what I share in the primary schools, what I will share on stages, it could all become a book with actionable advice too.
Yes, no doubt. When do you think you're going to be releasing your first book then? I'm putting you on the spot here.
I have no idea, because it's something that I want to do, and I almost set myself the goal. So I set myself lots of goals and then realize you can't do all of those goals. So after my British title fight, I was like, I'm going to stop fighting and I'm going to write a book. I'm going to release a book within 1 year. So that would have been the 5th of September, 2022. Then since then, I didn't even know about the schools at that point. Then I got into the schools and the whole idea of the book would have changed anyway. And so I haven't got a date for it yet.
Oh.
I'm focused on other things first.
Well, you should just do like a diary of a kickboxer and just do it as you go along.
Maybe. I wrote when I was going through my toughest struggles. So this is another book idea, but it came about after I'd written the poems. So every day from, I think it was the 23rd of November or somewhere in November 2020, I ran out of money. So I had 14 pence in my bank account and I went into a state of panic. I hadn't realized it at the time, but I started writing a poem every evening. So I was doing a hypnosis session every evening and writing a poem. And when I was a teenager, in my toughest times, shut myself away in my bedroom. And that's what I would do. I'd write poetry. I'd listen to music and like the lyrics. And, you know, those like really depressing songs that angsty teenagers listen to about hating my life and everything.
I relate, Jess.
not the most positive messages, but it's what teenagers do.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got these poems that show the fights inside my mind, because on the outside I still looked happy, healthy, successful. On social media I could still turn up with a smiley selfie and talk about how I was qualifying as a hypnotherapist, but I was struggling. And I did share it because I don't agree with hiding our struggles, but it's hard to actually demonstrate them. And it's important that people understand that successful people struggle.
It is. And I think more and more people are becoming more open to that now. We're gaining that confidence, aren't we, to just be ourselves. You know, nobody is perfect. There is no thing as perfection. There's no such thing. And yeah, I saw your post the other day and I was, she's back. And I loved it. It was honest, it was open. And it's inspiring for other people that are not feeling, you know, we've all been through so much over the past couple of years, and a lot of people are using the toxic positivity out there in the social media world. So it's important for other people to really fill in those gaps and to just give the message out there that it's okay to not be okay, but it's even more important to find the right tools and resources to get you back on track.
Yeah, it was what you were saying about the real celebrities, the people who make a difference. I think Brené Brown is the there's no such thing as perfect, but the almost
nobody can touch her.
she was a shame researcher. She is a shame researcher. She never planned that millions of people would follow her.
No.
If she walked into the room right now, she's the person that if I could meet anyone, any level of celebrity status, Brené Brown. She, in my mind, is the, like you said, the vulnerability, the imperfection, everything that she promotes. Kind of, I guess that has helped me become who I am, be willing to share, then be open to vulnerability, because we do. Society is sort of set up that we have to show our strengths and vulnerability is weakness. But I know that Brené Brown says how actually vulnerability is our greatest strength.
Mm.
And we can lean in, and because people like to help people as well. This is one of the things I like helping people, and I don't want to need support from other people. I've been very independent, very strong throughout my life, very much like I need to be the one in control. I need to be the one helping other people. And then this last few years, I've realized actually I need to reach out and accept support from other people, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We're very similar in some ways. Absolutely. But serving is important. It's special. I remember for many years, you know, being the the nice person, the kind person. And people say, oh, you're very sensitive, and making it out to be a weakness. That's our superpower. The world needs more kind people and people who will serve without any expectations. We need more of that in the world. Thank you so much for everything that you're doing. Honestly, the boy, I have this picture of the boy in my mind. And I want to end with you imagining that that little boy is in front of you, right? He's in front of you and he asks you, I'm just making this up as I go along, but hey ho. And he asks you, what should I do next? Okay, this boy, he's lacking confidence. He is being bullied at school. He struggles with seeing, mapping out a future vision. I know a little boy's future vision. You know, his future vision could be just to attend somebody's birthday party, right? That could be his future vision. Very, very simple. What's one word of advice that you would give him? One piece of advice that you would give him?
I would help him become a superhero. So using aspects of the alter ego effect, which is used with athletes. But kids are amazing at this kind of thing. They let their imagination go. So I would help him find out what he aspires to be. So then model those attributes and become that superhero, that version of himself, so he can turn up confidence and help him fully immerse himself into that world and those beliefs. So it's kind of incorporating elements of hypnosis with that childlike imagination and enthusiasm and changing body language and everything. So standing up tall, raising their arms in the air. It's kind of like the things I do, it's got becoming superheroes. But if I was on a one-to-one level with him, we would be able to explore a bit further into exactly who he wants to become, and then help him create that story as that superhero.
Love it. Oh, I love it. I can't wait to meet this boy. I literally have him in my head. I just think it's the cutest thing. So lots of exciting things happening for you. You're going to be writing a book. Sorry. I'm joking.
It will happen.
I'm joking, Jess. I'm joking. But lots of amazing things happening. And I do believe that you're going to meet Brené Brown.
It's there.
Absolutely.
It's on my vision. That would be when I listened to Brené Brown and Simon Sinek on a podcast, and they just
love them both.
They're like friends, and I was like, why not? I remember when I was seeing my coach win his title fight, and he wasn't my best friend at that point. He was the champion in the gym. Mm-hmm. We're now best friends. We message each other most days. He went self-employed before I went self-employed. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of following in his footsteps, but we're there together. And I think that's a really powerful message, that people aren't above other people. Brené Brown isn't above any of us. Brené Brown is Brené Brown. She's just further ahead on her own journey, because we're all further ahead on our own journeys. Nobody can beat us if we're on our own path.
Love that. Thank you so much, Jess. So how do people get in touch with you?
They can contact me through my email is probably one of the best places, jess@iamfightingfit.co.uk, or I am Jess Roper on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, all the usual places, really.
Excellent. Love that. And obviously, also, they can just check your details in the description as well. Thank you so much for sharing your story today. You are such an inspiration, Jess, and I feel so blessed that I've got to spend this time with you today. And I look forward to speaking to you very soon, because we are in the same communities. And yes, absolutely, 100%. Thank you so much, HiNet Connect. So many beautiful people in that community. And again, we wouldn't be speaking here today if it wasn't for that community. So big shout out to Liz Bateson, who is an extraordinary person and just so full of love. And that really shows within her community.
Can I just say one final word?
Yeah, of course.
Well, final few words. I didn't, because I, when I sent you over the information about this podcast, I was going to talk about my mum, and it didn't go that way today, but I do talk about my mum. It is another story that I will share. And if people want to know more, they're going to have to connect with me. But I just want to finish by saying, I love you, mum.
Oh, Jess. Thank you, darling. Sending you so, so, so much love. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.